It's 7 Best Week on the Wells Tech Podcast. We will be talking about the 7 best teacher resource websites. But we don't stop there. We probably have more resources than you can shake a stick at, all coming up next. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 226 for March 7th, 2012. Joining me, as usual, the lovely, the talented Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. The looking for springtime Sally Draper. I think we're going to hit the 50s today in Sleepy
Eye.
It's a very exciting day.
Nice.
It's funny when you are out and about in the community and the talk is how many people have seen robins in their backyard. So the sure sign.
That's right. But overall, and I think this has been pretty much across the country, just a really mild winter.
Yeah, definitely. I can't complain at all, especially after last winter when we were under 20 feet of snow the whole time. So really nice.
Yep. You've been busy with the kids. They've been in all kinds of contests and such, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely been a busy time, and we're gearing up at our house to go to state math counts, which is very exciting, coming up in just about 2.5 weeks. We're taking my middle son to compete for state math counts. Should be a lot of fun.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably get to business here, and this is our second 7 best. For those of you that are just joining us, we are taking 1 week a month for the entire year of 2012 and focusing on a list of the 7 best of something. Last month, we talked about the 7 best Bible study tools and or Bible study resources. Mm-hmm. And we felt that this month we would kind of give the teachers their due and ask for and collect the 7 best teacher resource sites. And there are many, many to choose from.
There are. We should probably start off with a disclaimer that this is not the last education-focused 7 best list that we're going to be doing, but this one is specific to things, places where you can find stuff to use in the classroom. So not necessarily tools for managing the classroom like grade books or course management software, and not necessarily student tools like Animoto or Kirpu for whatever it is that the students can make use of, but these are teacher resources sites. And boy, it's hard to limit it to just 7 things. We kind of came up with 7 categories of things and have some examples in each of the categories.
We kind of cheated a little bit, I think, but that's okay. Because the whole point is to provide a nice set of resources that our listeners can use. And I definitely think we've got that. So where do we start? What's number 7?
Number 7 on the list, we just want to make mention of a few subject-specific websites. So if you're a math teacher or an English teacher or whatever it may be, there are loads of sites out there. I'm sure everyone has subject-specific sites that they have bookmarked. A couple that come to mind for math and science are Khan Academy and the Periodic Table of Videos. Both of those are video-based resource sites that have just excellent tools for learning about the periodic table of elements or about science and math-specific topics on Khan Academy. So, number 7, subject-specific sites.
Yeah, Khan Academy is an interesting animal. It's got all those videos, but it has a whole bunch of other tools, kind of in-classroom-type tools for practice, and there's even – when I was up in Oshkosh visiting Grace Lutheran up there in their Chromebook initiative that they have with Peter Isles, they were using Khan Academy, and the portion of it that they were using was the practice tests or just the practice areas where all of the students were doing working at their own pace, but the there was a tool that Peter had shown on the board that actually tracked their progress as a class. So the more questions they got right in a particular period of time was shown on a graph. So it was kind of not competing against one another, but competing as a class to try and beat reach a certain level. It was really a cool process, and I think they've done a nice job on their site, both not just collecting the resources, the videos, but also adding some other tools on that make the learning experience a little more fun and maybe even more productive.
Right. That drilling capability includes all kind of badges that the kids can earn and points, so it makes it fun for the kids. And it's also customized to the kids' responses in the system. If they miss a certain number, then they get drilled more on a particular topic or concept. And if they get them all right, then they move right along to the next topic.
Yeah, there's some smartness to it. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So that's subject specific.
Yep. Number six on our list is just some places to read about trends in education. So as part of an educator's professional development, they want to stay on top of new ideas and research and that kind of thing. We actually have three sites we wanted to point you to for trends in education. First is called Edutopia, and it is an online magazine. It has lots of different strategies that work in the classroom. There are information is divided by subject level and grade specific, as well as just having these overall articles and trends and things that you can read about. Mm-hmm. Next is Tech and Learning, and it is a print magazine as well as an online magazine. Right. And specific to technology, but technology across all subject areas and grade levels, and just device-specific, hardware, software. They cover all different kinds of things on the Tech and Learning website. Yeah, very well done.
Yeah, I think so, too. You're going to find some stuff on smart boards. You're going to find apps for iPad. I mean, it's across the board. And it's a nicely done magazine. It's a pleasure to read. It's not that long. It's probably 16 pages, something like that. But all kinds of good ideas and some trends. I think that's a great resource.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, in this category, I wanted to make mention of David Warlick's blog called Two Cents Worth. Yeah. David was a speaker at one of our past EduTech conferences, and I've been following him ever since. He's quite prolific on the education speaking circuit. He's all over the place and looking at the changes going on in education, particularly because of the use of technology. And so I just feel like staying abreast of what David's writing about just kind of keeps me up with the current trends. So recommend him highly.
Yep. So this is going to tie into our number one, just a little bit of a tease, but kind of staying up to date by just some good reading lists and following industry trends is really important. Number five, we're going to call resource exchanges. And the web has been such a blessing in this area, because before word of mouth and the exchanges of resources happened at teachers' conferences and just probably within your own geographic areas. But now with the web, there's all kinds of places you can go to connect with other kinds of subject matter teachers that are in your, let's say, in your discipline, and just ways to share. Ways that you can share, let's say, and this started way back. Many of us probably remember WebQuests, those lesson plans that really take you through the web. So there's sites like that where you can upload your own WebQuests or use somebody else's. There's places just for lesson plans and worksheets for teachers called Lesson Planet. Sally, you've got a number of other ones on here, too. TeacherVision.com. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, some of these I just did some recent research and was just amazed at how much is out there. Printables, worksheets, all different subject areas, like you said, math, reading comprehension. There's things for lower elementary themes and circle time and things like that. Just lots and lots of it. One of my friends on Facebook recommended edhelper.com, E-D-H-E-L-P-E-R.com. And then there's some bigger names like Read, Write, Think and PBS right. Teachers, where they've collected resources around the content they already have. For instance, the PBS website has lots and lots of games associated with their television programming. But they've organized them by subject and by grade level so that as a teacher, you can go on their website and find even lesson plans associated with the online gaming that mm-hmm. they have available on the PBS site. And then finally, Education World, dubbed the Educator's Best Friend. And so maybe you're using Lesson Planet or Teacher Vision already, and it's time to find some new resources. You want to check out this list and try one of these others, then that would be great.
Mm-hmm. That's number five. Number four is similar, but it has all to do with smart boards or interactive whiteboards. And smart technology has what's called Smart Exchange, and you can go there and find all kinds of prepackaged or uploaded tools and resources and really lesson plans that make full use of the smart board and how the teacher and the student can interact with the board and enhance that learning experience.
Yeah, and there's also a Ning network or a private social network sponsored by the folks at Smart called Smart Board Revolution. And this is an awesome network for asking questions and right. sharing ideas. They actually sponsor free webinars on a regular basis and just a lot of exchange going on the Smart Board Revolution site. Mm-hmm. You know, having a smart board is an awesome thing, but it does take time and energy to morph your lessons into being smart board efficient, let's say, making use of the smart board in a way that enhances the lesson and being able to go out here and grab some lessons and then, you know, change them if you need to or whatever, just kind of gets you past one of the hurdles associated with having a smart board.
Yep. Very good. Mm-hmm. What's number three, Sally?
Number three is a list of video resource sites, including Learn 360, Discovery Education Streaming, and YouTube for Education, which has recently launched or relaunched their effort to support teachers using YouTube. So, obviously, Martin, you and I are dated enough to remember the days of the film strip. It was always a big thrill to get to turn the film strip when the little bell dinged and that kind of thing. But we are way beyond that now. And with our wired classrooms, we can bring video right to the students that is tied to the lessons we're teaching. And mm-hmm. these sites are just great for those kind of resources.
Okay. We're closing in at number one, but before we get to number one, it's number two. And this is a site that was recommended. We've recommended it, but we heard from a number of our listeners on this site as well. And that's the site Free Technology for Teachers.
Yep, I think Richard Byrne has kind of the gold standard as far as sharing resources for teachers. And this guy's just a young teacher. I believe he's in the state of Massachusetts. He started this right. blog. He blogs probably at least five or six different links a day. So this is a very robust blog full mm-hmm. of ideas for using all types of technology in the classroom.
Yep.
And again, covering all different grades, all different types of devices and delivery, just a wealth of information here. And he's also posted things like free ebooks for teachers, like if you want to get started doing techie things in your new school year or making videos in your classroom or whatever it may be, he's compiled some different ebooks for you to use as well. So he is an award winner and rightly so. And he's really the only one on our list of seven that gets his own category all to himself.
Right.
So I think that says a lot for him in terms of how much we respect his blog. I follow him on Twitter. I follow his blog and my RSS reader. I can't say enough good things about him.
Yep. Free Technology for Teachers. And it really is focused on that. I think there's always application, not just, hey, this is cool, but here's how you might potentially use this. And the you know, one of the operative words, obviously, in the site is free. These are things that you can leverage for your classrooms with very little or no expense. So.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Time to move to number one.
And this is one of those broad categories again. And in fact, we've had whole shows on this particular resource or topic, and that's PLNs, or personal learning networks. That is the acronym for just a plan for teachers to stay current and relevant. And how you do that is by following or creating a list of those people that you follow, whether it be on Twitter or blogs or now Pinterest, that are sharing good things that you might be interested in.
Yep. I have a whole category in my blog reader just dedicated to education technology. And I follow things like technology in the Lutheran classroom, apps in education, Wonderopolis, Edudemic, EdGalaxy, and the languages blog. And we'll have links to those. So if you're just getting started, go follow those blogs and see see if you find things that are of interest to you and that are helpful as you work in your classroom. And you can always unfollow them if they aren't helpful to you. Mm-hmm. But they'll link to other blogs and you can add them to your PLN along the way. Yeah. I also have a link to include in the show notes to my list of ed tech folks that I follow on Twitter.
Right.
And so you can just create a Twitter account. You never have to tweet or anything. Start following this list and all of a sudden all these great education technology ideas will be coming to you. And you know, let's say that 200 ideas come at you when you open your Twitter reader and you decide to use one of them and morph it into your own, into something completely different even. You know, you would have never had that one idea if you hadn't taken the time to at least glance at a Twitter feed. It's not something you have to spend a lot of time on, but it is a way to stay fresh and get new ideas for your classroom. And Martin, I'm loving it that you mentioned Pinterest. It's right up there at the top of your list now, I know.
Yeah.
I do think Pinterest is up and coming. I did some searches, and I'll include links in the show notes, just on the word education or on the word math education. And you could tweak that search term however you'd like. But there are boards dedicated to all different aspects of education, education technology, subject-specific. Especially, I see a lot of early elementary boards. Mm-hmm. So cool projects around, you know, St. Patrick's Day or whatever theme it is you're doing in your preschool, kindergarten, early elementary classroom. Lots and lots of craft ideas, worksheets being shared, all different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think for the early elementary folks, Pinterest could be a real fun and happening place for you to get great ideas. So
my wife really leverages Pinterest for exactly that. She teaches art, 5th through 8th grade art.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just a ton of ideas and resources on Pinterest that she's found that she's actually already used in the classroom. So what a great resource.
So, yeah. It can be intimidating to think I need a personal learning network, and that sounds like work to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the benefits that you would receive as a teacher to just begin to open yourself up to the new ideas that are out there floating around, just waiting for you to lay your eyes on them and make use of them on your classroom, I think you'll definitely see the benefit in a short period of time.
Right. So that is our 7 best teacher resource sites, and all those will be on the show notes page, so you'll have links to all that good stuff. We always take this opportunity to announce next month's 7 best, and I'm kind of excited about this one as well. This will be the 7 best email productivity tools, or maybe we could even throw tips in there. How about that? Your 7 best email productivity tools or tips. And we'll aggregate those, collect those, and at some show in the month of April, we will talk email. And we're all snowed under by email, so we thought, hey, let's get a list of 7 tips or tricks that we can put together that'll help you kind of weed through all that stuff. So send that stuff in to us. We would love feedback on that rather than, you know, just Sally and I, you know, calling through our resources. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely. I need some new tips and tools. I am always on the lookout for improving my email productivity. What a challenge it is.
Yep, absolutely. Let's move on to ministry resources.
And how exciting for us. We have three ministry resources to share today. Mm-hmm. First up, thanks to Pinterest, I found an infographic that I thought our listeners would enjoy. It's the Books of the Bible. It's from a site called chalice.com. And they've taken the Books of the Bible and arranged them periodic table style. Different look at the books of the Bible, but basically each one is abbreviated with a two-letter abbreviation, similar to the chemical compounds on the periodic table. But it is also colorized based on the type of book it is. So history books versus major prophets, minor prophets, the Gospels, the letters, etc. And then in each little square in the corners, they have the chapters and the verse counts, the date of the writing, and the author of the book if it is known. So just a different look at the books of the Bible. They have available a black background version and a white background version, and you can download them very high res and print them off if you wanted to copy of them or include them in whatever you need to make use of. I think he gives you permission in the blog post to make use of them as long as you aren't doing it for commercial purposes. So excellent resource.
Very nice.
And next up, I picked up on this from Pastor Guy Marquardt. He shared a link on Facebook, I believe, to the Sing for Joy resources. This is something produced out of St. Olaf College here in Minnesota, and it's a weekly audio program where they sing through different liturgical hymns based on the readings for the coming Sunday in the church year. And so if you just want to be uplifted with some beautiful hymns of praise, you can go here to the Sing for Joy website. I did not find a link readily available for this podcast in iTunes, but perhaps it's there as well. I did some searching and didn't find it, but there is an RSS feed, so you could get it in your RSS reader. And I just found it really uplifting to have some beautiful music to listen to. Mm-hmm. And then the last ministry resource, Martin, is the Open Bible Stories Wiki.
Yep. This is from door43.org. It's a I forget what their affiliation is, but basically their goal is to create open source Bible resources. And one of their projects is Open Bible Stories. And so they've queued up, I think, 30 stories of the Bible from creation to the flood to the Good Samaritan to Pentecost and so on and so forth. And they have procured or somehow collected beautiful artwork of these stories, and they are setting it to a narrative. So it's kind of like a slideshow, but there's rich transitions, and the narrative basically is the Bible. I think they knew they use the NLT, New Living Translation, and then what they're doing is they open source this whole thing. So they're allowing people to come in and write scripts, put all the collections together based on the resources they have, do some of the narration in many different languages. So it's not just English only. So they've got just a ton of languages that they would like to do these in, and they're asking people to help. You know, with both the creation, the script writing, the narration, they've got tools available that allow you to contribute. But for as a ministry resource, you can use any of these. Only a couple of these have been completed, and then some are in different phases. A lot of them, the text has been complete, but they're looking for audio and video to be added. And very well done. And I think if you are, these are great Sunday school resources, but they are also resources that could be used in an ESL type class. So if you're teaching a class for Hispanic speakers or Hmong or whatever, these might be great introductory resources to learn the language. And teach the language through Bible stories. So all free, all open source. I found it to be a very interesting project.
Yeah, great find, Martin. I see that they completed the Compassionate Father, and they have on the page the video, so you can watch a video. It's from YouTube. And then they have a tab where you can see just the images individually with the text.
Right.
They have a tab for study questions, and then they have a tab for downloads where they're going to make available all the documents and audio and video and things like that for download. So,
and because this is a Creative Commons attribution, you can repurpose this any way you like and use it in whatever way you'd like. So there's lots of potential here, I think.
Yeah, great find. We'll have to keep our eye on the development.
Yep. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, what have you got cooking this week?
Well, mine is an iPad pick this week. So especially for those in education, it's an organization, a spreadsheet organization of different iPads apps by subject area. So yet another teacher resource page, but specific to iPads. So this comes from the Texas Computer Education Association, and it's actually a Google Docs spreadsheet. So you have to actually have a Google account to be able to view it, I believe. But they have very specific subject areas, interactive books, reading practice, handwriting, spelling, grammar, mind mapping, literature. They move into mathematical subjects like time and money, algebra, geometry, addition, subtraction. Then they move into science topics, chemistry and physics, life science, human body, space science. And it's just this row after row of different iPad apps that people have recommended for each of these subject areas. They have social studies topics covered, special needs, study tools, art and music, foreign language, health and fitness, holidays, and infographics. So all kinds of iPad applications. So if you're a teacher making use of iPads in your classroom, this might be a good site to check out.
Very cool. I like it. Mm-hmm. My pick of the week is a website called media.io. That's media.io. It's an online audio converter. For a long time, I had struggled with trying to find a free or a semi-free tool that I could download that would convert audio formats. And lo and behold, there's this one online. I don't even have to download it. That will convert many, many different audio type formats. So if you have a WMA file, Windows Media Audio file that you want to convert to a MP3, for instance, there aren't a lot of tools that I found that could do this, but this one does it flawlessly. Up to, you have a limit of 500 megabyte uploads, but that should cover most things. But you can upload a WMA, an MP3, a WAV file, a .RA file, an M4A file, AAC files, AU files. The list goes on and on. AUG files, VOC files. All of these are used by different programs. And then it will convert to one of four different file formats. It'll convert whatever you upload to an MP3, a WAV file, an AUG file, or a WMA file. Especially if you're working on a couple different platforms, Mac, Windows, Linux, whatever, sometimes they like different file formats better than others. So you upload that file, you select your format, and then you select the quality. You can go all the way up to what they call extreme, which is 256 kilobits per second, to high, which is 192, normal, which is 128, or low, which is 96. So you upload it, you click convert, and then you download it back to your computer, and it's all done. Works flawlessly. I haven't found that it hiccups on any of these file types. And I just used it, in fact, today for a voicemail that we received, which comes in downloaded in WMA format. But for the podcast, I needed an MP3 format to play. So just uploaded it, downloaded it, done. It took about 20 seconds. So media.io, just a nice little utility.
Sweet. We will be happy to make use of that one for sure.
Okay. Shall we move on to our community feedback?
Sure. First up, I wanted to read a post from our Facebook page. This is from Cortland Kendrick, and Cortland says, I'm a Wells member at St. Stephen's in Fallbrook, California, and he has over 5,000 customers for his business, and he does text messaging to them. They've opted into this service, and he says they can get discounts at his store. He has a GNC franchise, and he says he'd like to explore a way to have our Wells members opt into texting that would allow them to send $1 to $5 every month to help pay off a school or church debt. And he could see the potential adding it up if people sent only 25. It only costs 25 cents per transaction using Dwolla. But if people sent $5, 200,000 folks could add up to $1 million really quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great idea, Cortland. I'm not quite sure, Martin, if you have any way to get that off the ground.
Well, that's a We have talked about that at the Senate level, too, that something like that might be in the cards. But it's just a matter of doing it the right way and then getting the word out. But I think there's even potential on the church level to do something like that, too. It just doesn't – it seems like an easy way to allow people to give.
Yeah, I've seen that kind of thing kind of come out around tragic events or
for
whatever.
Haiti or the tsunami in Japan, those kinds of things.
Red Cross and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Yeah, I think people are moved to give and it's very quick and easy to do. So
right.
Sure, good idea.
Wells Tech on Pinterest, I see, is the next one, Sally. We cannot get away from that.
Lucky us. a couple of links that I think I was the one who shared there. A link to new essential apps from Gizmodo for this month. So if you're a mobile app user, he's got lists for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Just some great app finds. And also an app find in particular that I tagged was Genius Scan. I don't know if you've heard of this one, Martin, but with an iPhone or iPad camera, basically it turns it into a document scanner.
Right,
you take a picture of it.
Right.
But it does have the ability, like if things are skewed, to drag the corners in or whatever so that you can get it more squared off and that kind of thing. It's a little bit more than just a camera utility, and it turns it into a PDF document. It links with your Dropbox. It looks like a really great way to get rid of some paper from your lives just using your handy cell phone camera.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out.
Right. Good.
And then an article about someone who deleted their Pinterest account and kind of some of the copyright issues around Pinterest. And I think as we do begin to make more use of Pinterest, we need to make sure we're citing our sources and not just grabbing images and not linking back to the original content, that kind of thing. This person points out that if you read the fine print in the agreement when you create your Pinterest account, it basically says they have no liability for what you're pinning your own in terms of copyright infringement or whatever. So, if something were to go wrong, the Pinterest folks aren't going to be there to back you up. So pin carefully.
Very good.
Okay.
Then safe pinning. Yes.
Exactly. We had some links shared in our Digo group. Great place to share links. And first up was assistments. And this is a new concept. I was just reading about assistments. But basically, it's a open source nonprofit movement where teachers can sign up and have assessment tools at their disposal, online assessment of different core teaching standards. And so it looks like Carnegie Mellon is behind this, and there's more information on the website. I think you'd want to check it out if you're looking for some kind of assessment tools.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Martin, you tagged the Book of Concord online.
I did, yeah. This is a blog post from Cyber Brethren, which is a blog that I read occasionally. And he points out that bookofconcord.org, it says, has grown now into the largest and most frequently visited internet site for the Lutheran Confessions. Last year, the site attracted 500,000 unique visitors. Just a good free resource if you want to read the confessions on which our church was founded, basically the Reformation. This is a great resource for that. So check out the bookofconcord.org.
I actually follow the Book of Concord on Twitter, which is the link off of that website as well.
Oh, really?
A daily Book of Concord reading in your Twitter feed, so you can follow that as well.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next up was a link from Mashable to Snap School, and it looks like Snap School is pulling together parents and teachers in the education process, so you can find out what your kids are learning in school. They tie it to the core standards that are being taught. And
right. Yeah, I saw that article too. Interesting.
Emails that are coordinated by your children's teachers, however they may be ahead or behind the actual classroom lesson. So,
or, and depending on if they go in order or not, but learn right along with the kids. And I know helping my kids even through middle elementary school and late elementary school but there's a lot of stuff I forgot or never learned.
Yep, always good to relearn it.
Especially in math.
All right. Next up, Jason Schmidt tweeted or shared a link on Digo to reflectionapp.com, which puts your iPhone or iPad on your Mac. So it's an AirPlay mirror for any Mac running OS X.
So what's the application for that?
Well, I think in a classroom setting, you're going to have apps that you'd want to be able to share on a larger screen or more widely than just with the individual device. So this is going to allow you to do that.
So if you don't AirPlay, help me with this, Sally, since you're the big iPad user. AirPlay, will it do true mirror? The iPad 2 will do true mirroring, right? So what you see on your iPad, you can see on the connected device.
Right.
Okay.
But to date, that hasn't been to a computer screen.
Right. So what you could do is connect your computer to your projector, and it would show basically whatever's being AirPlayed from the iPad to the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's maybe the application, right?
Right, but it doesn't work with a Windows-based computer. This is only for a Mac.
Right, right, of course. Right.
So, okay. But yeah, and it was interesting. Gail commented in Digo to Jason's post that she imagined that this might be tied to the upcoming Apple announcement this week. So we're broadcasting right at the point where Apple's going to be making some big announcements, much anticipated iPad HD or iPad 3 and the changes that are coming along with that. So
I
wait
and
see.
I do have to ask you, Sally, how's your iPad?
Oh, my iPad is back and it's behaving well. So went through several weeks of a repair
phone
process.
Calls and
9 visits by the Federal Express man. And we
what?
Are, yeah,
9?
That's what it took. It did. Yep. It was bordering on the ridiculous, but I have a repaired iPad now. My internal microphone wasn't working properly, but now it is. Made video this weekend of our kids' school play and it worked great. So
somebody kept FedEx in business.
Yeah, exactly. I think it cost them a lot more money than it had to, but whatever. That's their bill.
I'm just happy to know that FedEx comes to Sleepy Eye.
Of course they do. This is a technology capital.
That's right. There's a center there.
That's right.
Okay.
A couple more Digo links. Stixie, which is good for collaboration. It's kind of a wall wisher kind of application where you can add notes and things and collaborate, but you can also add pictures and video. So it's a little bit more extensive than, say, the wall wisher concept. So online collaboration and sharing might be good in a classroom setting.
Yep.
And then the last one, I think, was mine, right? Yes.
How to create a custom theme for your WordPress blog with minimal coding required. I know that maybe some of our listeners use WordPress for their church or school website, and you've probably stuck with the standard themes or the themes that you could upload. But here is an article that kind of walks you through step by step if you wanted to kind of build your own or build off of one of those themes and do some custom development without a lot of coding. It walks you through all those. You do have to know a little CSS, of course, But that's probably a pretty standard skill set if you're doing any kind of web management. And it really does kind of keep things simple, and you can do some cool things with this. So nice blog post. This was a lifehacker.com article that walks you step by step through this. So good stuff.
Yeah, and what you need to know in CSS, you can kind of fake your way through as well. They give you enough to go off.
It's not hard once you get the hang of it. So lots of good online resources to learn CSS.
Great. Thanks for that one.
Sure.
Next, our audio technologist among the group is going to play for us a voicemail we received from Aaron Fry.
Yeah, hang on just a second here.
Queuing it up as we speak.
So.
Uh-oh. Hey, Martin and Sally, it's Aaron Fry. Wanted to thank you again. It was a really great time being on the show a few weeks ago. And to give you and the listeners an update on the Pearl Vault project, we did, in fact, launch our fundraising campaign on Kickstarter.com. People can go to Kickstarter and just look up Pearl Vault as one word, or Facebook.com/Pearl Vault, or you can go to PearlVault.com. Yeah, pretty much, you know, any of those places. And see how we're doing, and we'd certainly appreciate any way you guys can get the word out, you and your listeners, because we now have until March 31st to collect $305,000 worth of basically pre-orders on Kickstarter.com, and we can use that as capital to start the Scripture Notes project. So, again, thanks for having me on, and hope everyone has experience with the Lord's rich blessings in their lives. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Aaron.
That Kickstarter site is an interesting one. I had a friend who did that for a audio video project she was working on. And you put your project out there, and people that are interested in supporting new development can go there and do just that. And it's a neat way to put it together.
Yeah, our listeners who were tuned in a couple weeks ago heard us talk with Aaron. Yeah, actually, he helped co-host the show, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And his little project, is the ability to take notes on Scripture and then have it in a format that you can always retrieve it from. So you're not kind of locked in to any one of the services like YouVersion or Logos or even any of those kinds of tools. Sounds like a real useful project. So if you want to get involved with that, then you can refer to those show notes for that page, or I think he shared it on his voicemail too, so mm-hmm. Facebook page. Thanks, Aaron. Sure. Blessings on your work.
Next, we want to make mention that Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary is accepting applications for a technology-based job opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're technology services coordinator, mm-hmm. and this position provides support for technology throughout all facets of the seminary, including the web presence. So maybe you're good at cascading style sheets and such things, and maybe you have a desire to work with hardware and software on a regular basis. Information is posted on the SIM website, and we will include a link on our show notes.
Yeah, I think the deadline for resume submission is coming up, so you want to look at that pretty quickly if you're interested in learning more.
Mm-hmm. Next, we heard from some of our longtime listeners. This is Mark Bergerman and his wife Leslie, and they are actually the webmasters over at goodshepherds.net, which is Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in West Allis, Wisconsin. And Mark and Leslie are probably the most dedicated webmasters that I know.
Yeah.
They just do an awesome job.
They must spend
on the Good
hours
site.
And hours on that. Boy, that is really commendable, and do a nice job too.
One thing that they do is they follow up with the analytics side of who's visiting the site and how much their content is being made use of. And so that was what they actually tipped us off to recently, Martin, with some of their stats and things.
Mm-hmm.
Their daily website visits are up around 40. They've got weekly sermon videos out there being viewed by about 28 connections. And most weeks they receive over 120 new site visitors. And they're also making heavy use of a member-only site. So not right in the forefront. They want to reach out with the gospel message, come to site visitors on their main homepage. But for members, they have all kinds of time and talent surveys and new member forms and listings of items that need repair, just a variety of forms and things on their member site. And then finally, they shared that they've had real great success with online registration for their day camp program and their Christmas for Kids program. And being able to gather that information online saves them a lot of work. So just great use of the Good Shepherd's website, and we really appreciate you sharing that information, Mark and Leslie.
Yeah, just an encouragement to our listeners to pay attention to your analytics. It can tell you a lot, and if you're using Google Analytics like they do, really educational as far as how people are using your site, what pages are most popular. Helps you tweak things so that it gets a little bit better traction, I think, with your visitors. And you can even see what kinds of things people are searching on that ultimately net the search results that lead to your page. So all kinds of interesting stuff come out of that. So, but you have to set it up. But it's fairly easy to set up. But you have to look at it on a regular basis. And Mark and Leslie do that. So
what a concept. You actually have to look at
That's right. This doesn't happen by itself.
Good job. All right. We heard from listener Cindy Krieger. We haven't heard from Cindy in a while, but she is one of our cool Wells Tech listeners out in Lansing, Michigan at Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church. And Cindy also works for the state of Michigan in their marketing, web, and mobile app development area. So she's got a twofold use of the Wells Tech podcast. Things that we include on the show are helpful to her in her job as well as her congregation. And so she just wrote to say thanks once again for the Wells Tech podcast. She was looking to advise someone on web building software and look back to one of our previous podcasts where we discussed Drupal versus Joomla versus WordPress. And then she also said that our recent podcast about internet safety and security would be a blessing to her in both her job and congregation. So thanks, Cindy, for checking in with us and continuing to be a faithful listener to our podcast.
Absolutely.
And then finally, we have a mind map. I love resource mind maps. Ties right in with our discussion this week of teacher resource sites. We have a mind map titled Technologies That Support Strategies That Work. And this was actually shared via your wife, Debbie, Mark.
Yeah, she didn't find it originally. I think one of her fellow faculty members at Peace Hartford shared it as well. And It is really cool. It's a simple mind map. They use MindMeister, but you can do this with any tool. But it's really not the technology that's the cool part. It's the collection of resources that they put together. So they've got categories that make a lot of sense for the teaching community. So you have not what they call non-linguistic or cues, questions, and advanced organizers. Summarizing and note-taking, homework and practice tools, things like Quizlet, which we've talked about in the past, Typeit, generating and testing hypotheses, identifying similarities and differences, like Venn diagrams, word processing tables, cooperative learning resources like Google Docs and Skype and Uvu, a category called reinforcing effort, setting objectives, providing feedback and recognition. Just many of these we've talked about in the past, but this just puts them in a nice organized format, and very cool. I think everybody should look at this.
So I think we might have to rename the show, not 7 Best, but 7 Plus or something, because it's been loaded with teacher resources this week, and we're so happy to be able to share those with our listeners. Yep. That's going to do it for community feedback.
Okay. Back to my mind map. Next week, we are finishing up our book review on the Church of Facebook, and the chapter, remind me again, Sally, is?
It's chapter 6, Regeneration.
Regeneration. So those of you following along at home, you may want to read that ahead of time. I'm looking forward to the exciting conclusion of the Church of Facebook. It's been a good ride
too.
So far.
Yeah.
Let us close the show with some Lenten tunes, one tune in particular, from Kevin Lersch, from his album Abide With Me, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
To thank.